pastor's accountability, pastor's covenant of understanding. I'm sorry. And then this month we have also our we talk about the budget for 2023. This has a little relationship with those topics. So because when I preach, I ask Pastor Joe, "Pastor Joe, what topic I'm going to preach?" And he always told me that, "Okay, you can choose whatever God put in your heart." So I choose this topic. So this morning we are going to talk about the pastor's accountability. And not only for the pastor's accountability, we're going to talk about the members' responsibility. So actually there, the word shepherd, I am referring to the pastors. And the word sheep, I'm referring to the congregation or the members. So now in this verse, we are going to study sentence by sentence. The first one is that I am the good shepherd. No, that is not. Go back to number one, please. I'm not yet done with that. Okay, it said, keep watch over yourselves and all the flocks of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. So we are going to talk first what is the context or the background of this text. This is the statement of Apostle Paul to the Ephesian elders or the Ephesian pastors nowadays. After he completely presented to them the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul emphasized that keep watch over yourselves. So he is referring to the elders in Ephesus. And it says there, and all the flocks which the Holy Spirit made you overseers. So he's talking to the elders there in the church there to take care of the Christians, of the believers in Ephesus. Because the next there, be shepherd of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And he says, for I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. So the flock there is repairing to the people, the believers. So what is this savage wolves? So this is another imagery. But actually, this is not a literal wolves, but we can picture how wolves attack other animal or maybe even a person. So we can picture on that. So Apostle Paul referring to this, to the teaching. Because during that time, the religion of the Jewish people, and even until now, some of them are Judaism. And this Judaism, the in that whole picture, Jesus was not there. So if we are going to read the next chapter of this Acts, we can see that there are a lot of Sadducees. Okay, the teaching, these Sadducees, I don't know if I have the correct pronunciation. These Sadducees, they don't believe on the resurrection of the dead. And they don't believe on the existence of the spirit. So if they don't believe, and these people, and these Sadducees, of course, attack the believers. So this is what Apostle Paul was worried about, because we know that Apostle Paul, his ministry was church planters. After he planned a church in a certain area, he's going to leave and leave there to the elders of the church. So this is the background of this. So now, is this only for their time? No. This is up to until our time today, because there are generations of Christianity. So if this reminder of Apostle Paul to the elders today, before, and up to today, this is still the reminder of God to the pastors or to the elders of the church. So look at that number one. Okay, now, keep watch over yourselves. So this is referring now, we are going to focus now, this is now the reminder, this is now the accountability of a pastor. Keep watch over yourselves. Why yourselves? We know that a pastor leads, right? A pastor is a model. So we have to be an example first. And also to take care of the flocks. And who are the flocks? The members or the congregation. And it says there, for the Holy Spirit has made you. So we have to understand that the pastor that we have, this is general all over the world, that they are not there just because of human being, or because of the member. They have the calling of God. Before they can be a pastor, that man, he has the calling of God. So, now, what does it look like? Next slide, please. So, one of the pastor's accountability, the pastor's model in shepherding is Jesus Christ. It says there, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandoned the sheep and ran away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is not hired and cares nothing for the sheep. So we can read even in that next verse that Jesus said that there, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. So here we are going to focus on that verse. How did Jesus give his life as a shepherd? It says there, he lays down his life. So meaning to say, if Jesus is the model, he gave his life to the church, so the same with the pastor. Can you see that? That what is giving of life? Okay, so because in here we can see the imagery, we are going to look the example of King David before. Can we imagine King David when he was a shepherd? When he was a shepherd, he killed the lions who attacks the flocks, right? He killed the lions. And also when the sheep go to another direction, what does a shepherd has? He has the
staff, right? He has the staff. And based on my reading, the shepherd is going to do like this to the sheep. To redirect, if this is the direction, and if the sheep is going like this, the shepherd is going to redirect the sheep. So now in connection with this to our lives as pastor and members, what does the pastor do? In the same way, the pastor is going to direct the lives of the members. And also when the sheep are wounded,
the shepherd, the literal shepherd, they are going to, in my reading, it says that they are going to carry the, they are going to carry the sheep. They are going to carry the sheep. So that's the picture of how a shepherd gave his life. So is it easy? Is it easy to be a pastor? So how does shepherding look like for the members? Next slide, please. Okay, let's look at on that. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their works will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So in other translation, it says that the word that I highlight, they keep watch over your souls. So shepherd and sheep's relationship, it is more on personal way. And when it says it keep watch over your souls, this is more on moral and spiritual side. Sometimes it's very hard for me to figure out here. I hope. What do you call that? I cannot open anyone because the pastor is facing different kinds of problems. The pastor is facing different kinds of problems, and in the members are also facing different kinds of problems. So there must be an internal, interpersonal relationship between the pastors and the members. So meaning to say, the pastors must know the members personally, and the members must know also the pastor personally, vice versa. Why? Because the pastoring is going to, if the member is going to another direction, the pastor can teach, the pastor can rebuke. It's something like that. It's more on in the moral and spiritual side of it. And are we willing to be pastored by the pastor? The Bible says that the word of God is for to rebuke, to teach, and to correct. So that's the work of the pastor. So if our pastor is going to pastor us, are we open to receive it? Or we don't know our pastor personally, or we cannot even tell our pastor our problems. And it's only like a civil relationship. But in a church, it should not be like that. There must be an interpersonal, there must be a close bonding between the pastor and the congregation. So if they keep watch over the flocks members or the members, they keep watch of the souls of the members. So what is the responsibility of the church. So there is another one. So there is a vice versa. So next slide, please. Okay. So if they keep watch our souls, so we have also our responsibility as the members. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, it says there, nevertheless, the one who received instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. So if they keep watch over our souls morally and spiritually, so this is also our part. So we have to share, what is that? All good things with their instructor. So in another version, share all good things with him who teaches. I remember in the Philippines, when you say full-time ministry, and that is why I am still figuring it out, how do you do things here. In the Philippines, when we have full-time ministry, it doesn't mean that you have full-time salary. In which full-time, it could be, there are three meanings of that. You see, full-time in the ministry or full-time pastor, it could be you have full-time wages or salary, or you call this here, only allowance or nothing at all. So in the Philippines, when you see pastoring, there are, so full-time, it could be you have salary with full-time salary, but you have full-time work. It could be you have full-time work, but you have only allowance. It could be also you have full-time work, but you have no wages or salary at all. So it depends. If you belong to the mega churches, maybe you have that big one. You have full-time salary too. So it's really different. But because, why? Why it's different? Because we are not only, like what we have read a while ago, that the good shepherd, we are not like only the hired one. Say, go back to that. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. So in my experience, there are, or observation, there are a lot that if there is no salary or they have no allowance anymore, they have to quit in the ministry. But so I'm trying to like giving the picture on this, the picture of both, that we have to give. That's what really the Bible wants us to do. And next slide, please. It says there, the church or ecclesia must aware that the pastors is worthy of pay. So what is that worthy of pay there? So the elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. So the word worthy of double honor, the meaning of that is that it refers to an adequate compensation for the work of the ministry. He is worthy of financial support. You see the Bible, how it is balanced. So you pastor, you don't only like, you are going only to, we are not only, I was pastoring before. So we are not only going to work, I want to emphasize, we are not only going to the work in the ministry because of money. But at the same time, members, we must know that it is really the Bible's teaching that we have to give so that our pastors obey. So he or she is worthy of double honor. That's the meaning of that scripture. He is worthy of double honor. So I remember again, Apostle Paul. So Apostle Paul, he was teaching about, we know how smart Apostle Paul was. But during his ministry, he did also by doing a tent making. He was teaching the church to give, but he was also modeling to them how. He was not depending only to them, but he was also doing a tent making. And that is why Apostle Paul, he said that, I know how to abound and how to abase when he was in the ministry. And he was also teaching to the churches, or that even until now, for us, he said that lazy people should not eat. So it's really a balance. It's really balance. So is this a teaching of Jesus that we have to share? Okay, let's next slide, please. It says, go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will be rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the workers deserve his wages. So the background of this is when Jesus was sending the 70. It's 70, right? The 70. They're sending the 70 to preach the gospel. So what is there? This is very literal that he was sending them, and the instruction, they are not going to bring anything. But they are going to, he says there, stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the workers deserves his wages. So this is another teaching that a worker deserves his wages. So I remember again how my organization in the Philippines, it is called Christ to the Philippines, and actually the founder is from Pennsylvania. I shared this already before. He is now, or they are now living in Maryland, but they were there in the Philippines preaching the gospel when they were 19 and 20 years old. And then they were sharing to us, the younger generations, that when they started there, they have preached and preached the gospel, and they learned to eat. These Americans, they learn to eat dried fish. They learn to eat salted fish. And you know, American, you don't like the smell of that, right? But they learn to do that for the sake of the gospel. And then when these missionaries, after that, those first converts, they send them also. The first converts that they had, the disciples, and they sent also to the different islands of the Philippines. You know, the Philippines has 7,000 plus islands, and the occupied islands are 2,000 plus. So this is, in this verse, this is literal that sending them with nothing. But in their case, I really love listening to their testimony. In their case, they were sent only one way fare. So meaning they are going to the islands and they have nothing for coming back to where they were from. Did it work? Yeah. It works. And they had the same with this verse, that their testimony that the devil, you know, they told to Jesus, the devil, you know, they cast away demons like that. So these people, these missionaries, I really love their stories. And there's like something like this. One time they went to a mountain. And that mountain, to cross to the other side, they have to cross in the river. And the tribes there was very amazed, and that's the reason that they were converted, because they thought that it's a log that they pass. But you know what? It was not a log. It's a crocodile. So they passed on that. They passed on that, and they were not eaten by the crocodile. So the tribe there, they were very amazed. They were not eaten by the crocodile. And because of that, they were converted into Christianity. And there's another example that they were very hungry because they had only fare one way and they don't have anything. You're just applying this. And of course, up to this time, this is no longer applicable. And they have no food. And then banana in the Philippines is one of the trees there. And they don't see any banana. And then when they prayed, after they prayed, they go around and they saw a banana tree has a ripe fruit on it. So there's a lot of testimony like that. When you only obey the God's calling. So this is Jesus' teaching that the church really to give. So it depends. It depends where we are in the world. So you are American, maybe this is not really your problem because you have a lot. So, in third world country or developing country, this is still going on. Like, here you have big churches. In the Philippines, yeah, in that organization, it was born 1967. We have already 150 churches all over the Philippines. And that missionary from Pennsylvania. That's what they planted the seeds, and that's already 150 churches or more than now. But when we see churches, do not think that the building is like yours. Maybe it's look like also in Honduras. So you can picture that. So, and that is the reason why we have also our responsibility. Our responsibility to give. I'm looking to the time. Now, if the Bible has a complete role for us to follow, why the real church of Jesus Christ now is weakening? Why is it not weakening? I tried to research, and I found a research in the internet. This is called Barna Christian Research Organization. There are 42% of pastors says yes to quitting in the questionnaire, that they are going to quit in the ministry. So what are the reasons that there are some of the reasons why the pastors wants to quit in the ministry. One, many pastors feel lonely and isolated. If if the shepherd and the sheep don't develop the interpersonal relationship, you know, a pastor is a shock absorber. A shock absorber, there's a lot of, you know, if the members has problems, the pastor absorb all those problems. So it should be in two way, not only one way. Because if the pastor cannot also tell, you know, tell what is inside him to the members, so that's the reason that many pastors feel lonely and isolated. Another one is pastors are facing burnout. They lose their motivation, hope, energy, and joy. Another one is that many pastors are underpaid or no pay at all in another side of the world. And in my generation before, there were a lot of us wanted to obey the calling of God to enter into the seminary, you know, to become a pastor or missionaries. But now the younger generations, we don't have. Because it is like being a missionary or being a pastor is no longer like the young people. This is not really encouraging to the young people nowadays because of this money side. And that is why I am preaching this, because to tell us that we, the members or the congregation, we must be also the encouragement for the pastor to go on, or to the young people to accept the calling of God. Why? Because if not, Christianity will die. There will be nobody to follow our steps. So that's the reason. And another way, not only the pastors, but there are also the reasons why members leave the church. This is universal, not only in America. After graduating school, they move to another location to find job. Is it true here? Yeah. The same in the Philippines. When they are in college or in high school, there are a lot of young people in the church, and they are even praying for a job. And then when they have already job, they quit going back to the church. And then another one, because of abuse of power in the church leadership. And thank God we don't have that here. And also, they don't agree with the vision of the church. And another one, don't trust the church with their money. So I remember when I was pioneering the church, of course, we have to teach the church step by step. And then we arrived to this, that we are going to teach the church about why we are going to give. And I remember there were some who really quit going to the church because they don't like to give. So another one is that, this is what I found in my reading, the church hurt them. So people leave the church because they said that the church hurt them. But we must understand this part, because, yeah, this is really happening, because it also says in the Word of God that iron sharpens iron. So we cannot avoid that, you know, sometimes we are hurting each other, but it doesn't end there. And another one is they have no time because they are still working during Sundays. So this is what's happening. So now what we are going to do, so the pastor has accountability and we members, we have also our responsibility. So we have to continue to develop our interpersonal relationship with our pastor and vice versa. Because, you know, it is not the one who attacks us today, it is not literal wolves. We know that we have We know that we have an enemy, and it's Satan. And the Bible is very clear that our enemy is there are the principalities in the air. We cannot see them, and that is why it's unfair. Because when they attack us, we cannot see them. But we have to understand also that we are victorious because we have God, we have the Holy Spirit with us. So we have to develop our interpersonal relationship with one another so that we can, I thank God that God brought me here in the U.S. I have a lot of testing and trials. But thank God, I have a family to run into. He provided me a family, and that's the Haltilman's family. Thank you for your goodness and kindness. And I can really feel that, you know, if we are really serving God, whatever situations, so He is going to provide an answer for our problems. So we have different problems in lives. I don't know what is yours right now. And remember, the enemy is attacking the church of God because he doesn't want us to go to heaven. You know, I don't believe in once saved, always saved. Why? Because if you are saved already and then you live in immoral life. So we are going to watch people of God. Because now, how if, for example, you can hear in the world, oh, my body is my choice. Is that correct? My body is my choice. So go back to the word of God. Is that correct? And the word of God says, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we must go to take good care of our body. So there's a lot that we heard in the world. So, and that is why we need to have our interpersonal relationship with our pastors and our, you know, our, sometimes I'm run out of English, our, our, you know, co-members in the church. So we have to develop that. We, you know, I'm very vulnerable. God knows that because we need to be vulnerable. It doesn't mean if we need to be vulnerable, it's a sin. But you need to share to your co-members in the church so that burden in your heart will be, you know, will release and you will feel lighter. And it's nice to have a relationship with our fellow Christians. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. You know, Father, that sometimes it's very hard for me to explain, but I pray that your Holy Spirit will touch each heart right now, that what we heard or what we read on the slides, that, Lord, the pastors has the accountability for the church. And he is the one who is attacked by the enemy, first of all, for him to be discouraged and leave. In the same way, Lord, we members, the congregation, we have also our own responsibility. And help us, Lord, to be responsible enough so that, Lord, we are not a burden to our pastor, but instead we will be a joy to them so that they will continue to serve you and lead your church. So thank you so much, Lord, for today. And we give you back all the glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you for listening. I hope you understand my English.